From Roke to Horttown is no great voyage, but they spent 3 nights at sea. The Archmage had been urgent to be gone, but once gone, he was more than patient. The winds turned contrary as soon as they were away from the charmed weather of Roke, but he did not call a mage wind into their sail, as any weather worker could have done. Instead, he spent hours teaching Arryn how to manage the boat in a stiff headwind in the rock-fanged sea east of Issyl. The second night out, it rained, the rough, cold rain of March, but he said no spell to keep it off them. On the next night, as they lay outside the entrance to Hort Harbor in a calm, cold, foggy darkness, Arryn thought about this, and reflected that in the short time he had known him, the Archmage had done no magic at all. He was a peerless sailor, though. Arryn had learned more in 3 days sailing with him than in 10 years of boating and racing on Barilla Bay, and mage and sailor are not so far apart. Both work with the powers of sky and sea, and bend great winds to the uses of their hands, bringing near what was remote. Archmage, or Hawk the Sea Trader. It came to much the same thing. He was a rather silent man, though perfectly good-humored. No clumsiness of Arryn's fretted him. He was companionable. There could be no better shipmate, Arryn thought. But he would go into his own thoughts and be silent for hours on end, and then when he spoke there was a harshness in his voice, and he would look right through Arryn. This did not weaken the love the boy felt for him, but maybe it lessened liking somewhat. It was a little awesome. Perhaps Sparrowhawk felt this, for in that foggy night off the shores of Wathort he began to talk to Arryn, rather haltingly, about himself. "I do not want to go among men again tomorrow," he said. "I've been pretending that I am free, that nothing's wrong in the world, that I'm not Archmage, not even Sorcerer, that I'm Hawk of Temeri, without responsibilities or privileges, owing nothing to anyone." He stopped, and after a while went on, "Try to choose carefully, Arryn, when the great choices must be made. When I was young, I had to choose between the life of being and the life of doing, and I leapt at the latter like a trout to a fly. But each deed you do, each act, binds you to itself and to its consequences, and makes you act again and yet again. Then very seldom do you come upon a space, a time like this, between act and act, when you may stop and simply be, or wonder who, after all, you are." How could such a man, thought Arryn, be in doubt as to who and what he was? He had believed such doubts were reserved for the young, who had not done anything yet. The boat rocked in the great, cool darkness. "That's why I like the sea," said Sparrowhawk's voice in that darkness. Arryn understood him. But his own thoughts ran ahead, as they had been doing all these 3 days and nights, to their quest, the aim of their sailing. And since his companion was in a mood to talk at last, he asked, "Do you think we will find what we seek in Horttown?" Sparrowhawk shook his head, perhaps meaning no, perhaps meaning that he did not know. "Can it be a kind of pestilence? A plague that drifts from land to land, blighting the crops and the flocks and men's spirits. A pestilence is a motion of the great balance, of the equilibrium itself. This is different. There is the stink of evil in it. We may suffer for it when the balance of things rights itself, but we do not lose hope and forego arts and forget the words of the making. Nature is not unnatural. This is not a righting of the balance, but an upsetting of it. There is only one creature who can do that. A man, Aaron said, tentative. We men. How? By an unmeasured desire for life. For life? But it isn't wrong to want to live. No. But when we crave power over life, endless wealth, unassailable safety, immortality, then desire becomes greed. And if knowledge allies itself to that greed, then comes evil. Then the balance of the world is swayed, and ruin weighs heavy in the scale. Aaron brooded over this a while and said at last, Then you think it is a man we seek? A man, and a mage. Aye, I think so. But I had thought, from what my father and teachers taught, that the great arts of wizardry were dependent on the balance, the equilibrium of things, and so could not be used for evil. That, said Sparrowhawk, somewhat wryly, is a debatable point. Infinite are the arguments of mages. Every land of Earthsea knows of witches who cast unclean spells, sorcerers who use their art to win riches. But there is more. The Fire Lord, who sought to undo the darkness and stop the sun at noon, was a great mage. Even Aerith Ackby could scarcely defeat him. The enemy of Morrid was another such. Where he came, whole cities knelt to him. Armies fought for him. The spell he wove against Morrid was so mighty that even when he was slain, it